This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to Sunday Arts on Joy 94.9.
Now, I can't believe, you know, like we rolled the red carpet out, we sprung the rose petals down the walkway. You know, like, how exciting is this? Who's our next guest?
Our next guest is Moira Finucane.
Hey!
Here I am.
And what a dramatic entrance.
I'm just picking rose petals from my teeth.
Welcome back, and can't wait to hear all about your new show. You are the Queen of Burlesque.
I am.
And you know, like, and what an amazing history you've had. Now, for those people, and I said off air, for those people that don't know who you are.
Who are you? Come forward.
Under a rock. Give us a little bit of a background on who you are and what the amazing things you've achieved.
Oh, my God. So, let's see. I trained as an environmental scientist.
Oh, well, that's a nice little segue to being a burlesque performer.
And I worked in World Heritage for a number of years, and then I started working in human rights and international gender and development. And I did that for a decade. And even though those two things seem quite different, and then of course I started performing in underground clubs, and for any of your listeners who were around in the 90s, underground clubs in Melbourne, queer and not queer, were burgeoning with this wild political performance art. People were doing operas at 3 a.m. There was all kinds of stuff going on, and somebody asked me to perform for an ACT UP fundraiser. Which was raising awareness around what we then called AIDS, what we now call HIV. And obviously those two things are strongly connected, and ACT UP was absolutely at the fore, and I fell in love with performing. There I was down at the club in Smith Street. And it was an amazing, wild time, and there were allies from all over the place coming together to raise awareness around how precious humans are and how we should love them to bits. And there I was, it was 3 a.m, I was surrounded by black gaffer tape and holding the stage together. And, you know, the audience were going nuts. And I really fell in love, not only with performing, and let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you can attract someone's attention and hold it at 3 a.m, when they're, you know, mind altered in so many different ways, you can attract it and hold their attention at any time. So that's how I started performing. And then pretty soon I was asked to perform in galleries, the National Gallery in Canberra. And then I kind of elbowed my way into all kinds of contemporary arts contexts around the world. And here I am.
Mm. And you're like, you really have taken the world on by storm, haven't you?
I was counting up the other day. I've performed across 5 continents, 15 countries, rave reviews in 13 languages. Finucane and Smith, and this is why, listeners, whenever you have a beautiful, strong, brave idea, throw out the concept of benchmarking. Follow your creativity, whether you are an artist or an artisan or a writer or a community helper, whatever. Follow your creativity as strongly, as powerfully, and as passionately with as much integrity as you can. Because from the moment I first started performing, even when I was performing in drag clubs back in the 90s and I wanted to do monologues at 3 a.m., which was incredibly sensible, people would say, I just don't think that is going to work. And my whole career has been backgrounded and foregrounded with people going, you know, I just don't think that's actually going to work. And Finucane and Smith have now become an Australian trailblazer. We're the first company to perform in an enormous number of amazing festivals around the world, the first Australian company. A couple of years ago, we won the International Theatre Institute's Chamaco Award, for the international presentation of the year across Cuba.
Wow.
That amazing cultural dynamo. And we were the first Australian company there performing at the Havana International Theatre Festival. Mm. And this year I am directing my first main stage Chinese language production of our Australian Gothic, The Flood. So never tell me never, or I will just go ahead and do it twice as hard.
Now, what I love about you is that you're not shy.
I'm not shy.
You push the boundaries like I've never seen an artist push boundaries before, where you actually have to hand out raincoats to people in the front seat.
We care for our punters.
Because they don't want to be covered in milk or whatever else is going to be thrown around on stage. Where does the ideas come? And how do you keep on reinventing yourself?
I am a very excitable person. And for my new work, The Rapture, we premiered it kind of off-Broadway, on-Broadway. I went to Miami a few weeks ago to do the solo version of The Rapture, and I was so nervous. I went there with my lighting designer.
I don't believe that.
I really was. We finished the technical rehearsal, and there I was, and there was... There were liquids. There was me doing this amazing work with sauce that turns into blood. There were fans going.
There was
12 or 14 meters of this incredible black silk blowing in the wind, and this incredible cruciform stage and smoke everywhere. But we finished the technical rehearsal, and everybody in Miami, and Miami's wildly multicultural, lots of Latin American people there. Anyway, people looked confused at the end of the tech run, and I felt kind of devastated and lonely. People didn't go, wow, that's going to be amazing. Everybody looked kind of worried and a bit freaked out. Anyway, I went back into my dressing room. I thought, now is not the time for panic, Moira. And just then a text came in from my partner in crime, Jackie Smith, the Smith and Finnegan Kane and Smith, and she said, Moira, don't forget, no one will have ever seen anything like you. You're weird. Embrace it. And so I went out there that night, and I was weird and wild and just embraced it. And it was the perfect proving ground for what we're going to unleash in two weeks' time.
And so what's it called again?
It's called The Rapture.
I've got to congratulate you on the poster, which I'm seeing all over town. It's spectacular. You look like a mad woman, but you look possessed.
Like I look on Sundays.
Have captured something, like that. I need to go and see what you're going to do.
The rapture is everything in my life coming together in a 3-week performance. It's that my love of environmental science, my absolute passionate fascination with taxonomy. The Rapture's underheading is art versus extinction.
That's right.
And it's an absolute wild reliquary treasure lair. Last year I was the creative fellow, the inaugural creative fellow at the National Gallery of Victoria. And part of that incredible adventure was going to galleries all around the world, from Brazil to Norway to Paris. And I talked to guards and volunteers and visitors and curators and directors. And I said, what is art? When you love it, why do you love it? And every single one of them, in many different languages with many beautiful accents, said that art is a transportation, that art takes them from where they are now to somewhere where they don't know. And that's where the word rapture comes from. It's a physical, visceral, emotional or spiritual transformation. And that's why eagles are called raptors. So rapture is not just a pretty spiritual moment. The talons and the curved beak, the capacity to literally pick up and take away, the rapture, is why raptors are called raptures. And so rapture is a work of extreme total art. Nothing in it is not high art. There are 500 porcelain icicles coming down the north coast as we speak. Each one has been fired 3 times. There are about 12 Melbourne couturiers who are creating these beautiful sculptural architectural costumes, but they're not costumes, they're happenings, they're events. There's a silk iceberg created by Anastasia Lefay, a giant bear created by Gunshy, Shirley Keon, who has her studio around the corner and dresses the who's who of Melbourne, has done so for many years. is creating me this beast spider spine costume, which I start the show with. And every single thing in the rapture, William I. Colts, who your listeners will know, that Lamprey award-winning stunning sculptor, is creating me these beautiful extinct bird devotional sculptures with crystal halos.
Wow.
And it's all going to be in this treasury at 45 downstairs, wild wings, incredible songs, genius literary work. I can't wait.
I can't wait.
I can't wait.
And most of Melbourne can't wait. You're talking to the one and only Queen of Burlesque. Oh, my God, we're so excited to have her in the studio today. You're on Sunday Arts Magazine.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy
94.9. You're listening to Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine. And we were talking to Maura Finucane about her... the next performance that you're going to be doing and the level of detail that's going into it so far.
And you were just showing us some photos off air of these eagles that are distinct now.
Yes, they are, absolutely.
They're... and the icicles that are going to be hanging from the ceiling. And you want them to fall on you. So if they fall on you, will you be dead at the end of the show on the opening night?
There's a rumour that I am the undead, that I am 10,000 years old and that I always walk the earth. That rumour was started by my artistic and touring team who you know, when I'm excited, I rarely sleep. So they'd wake up and I'd be pacing around outside the hotel at 6 a.m. And then when they'd go to sleep, I'd still be pacing around, writing things down and, you know, da, 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 da. So one of the things that working with fine art, working with beautiful artists, and I think that anybody that's tasted the difference between a really bad instant coffee and a really superb coffee knows what I'm talking about. They're both coffee. Mm. We know that. They both might have the same impact on your body. But one you deny as you drink it, and the other one you investigate. Great art is an investigative process.
Oh, yes.
And what I wanted with The Rapture was there to be no what I call bounce back, which is when you're looking at a work that is just designed, you only want to go so far and then you move on. It's superficial. When you're looking at a great work of art, it provokes all kinds of things in you. You can just keep looking and looking as long as you want or as long as you have time. And every single element of The Rapture is fine art and it's great art. And there's drinks at the bar and there's table seating. There's a cruciform stage. There's 500 porcelain icicles. There's me going off in these wild costumes with this incredible music created by Shinjuku Thief, who are internationally acclaimed from classical composition to hardcore industrial, and my choir.
Choir?
I have an unearthly choir.
Right.
And I wanted to bring together voices that would be really unexpected. So I got Mama Alto.
Oh, my God.
Who's the beyond gender counter tenor diva. 6 foot X of unbelievable beauty. Mm. And as a woman said to me once in Cuba, I do not understand. What am I looking at? Is that a person, a man? Or is that a person, a woman? Or does it not matter because is that person an angel?
Oh.
And it was just, we just had this beautiful moment, me and this woman.
Yeah.
She'd never seen anything like Mama Alto. She's joined by Claire St. Clair, and Claire St. Clair looks like this angel bombshell person that's walked out of a underground jazz club in 1920. And her voice is incredibly deep, so it kind of falls out of her mouth like whiskey molasses, and it doesn't work with her look at all. So it's like holding a very delicate orchid and suddenly realizing that it has this incredible power to it. Joined also by Shirley Katana, who's 83 years old.
Oh, wonderful.
And when Shirley sings Daisy a Day, get your hankies
Daisy a Day.
Out. Daisy a Day. Daisy, it's just Daisy a Day.
I bring you a Daisy a Day. That's right.
And, you know, 83 years, she has the most gorgeous cracked soprano voice. It's just, and they're going to come together and sing up a storm while I am the one-woman storm front of The Rapture.
Shirley was in your previous production, Glory Box.
Did you see her?
Yeah, I did see
her. Did you cry?
I did.
Yeah.
And
see,
I think Mama Alto was also in that one as well. So you use similar sort of people in your productions. Yeah. Do you think about that when you're actually forming the pieces?
What I do with my artists is I sneak up on them. had my training in environmental science, has
and
taught me well.
They try to run, but they can't run.
I have, you know, there's a thing in environmental science where you tag endangered animals or any animals. It's called a capture and release program. But I have a capture and non-release program. So when I see somebody who is exquisite, and I only engage the exquisite, when I see someone who, when they perform, they open their rib cage and their humanity and all its vulnerability, strength, power and beauty shines out unashamed. Mm. Capture, and don't release.
Hold on to them.
And, you know, Shirley came with us to China recently. It was her first international tour at the age of 82, starring in our Australian Gothic, The Flood. And the Chinese, she was mobbed daily as a rock star. And when we got back, she was pretty tired. When we got back, she held my hands as we waited for our luggage, which was not insignificant. And she said, Moira, I have done almost everything I wanted to do in my life with you. And then I said, but Shirley, I'm not letting you retire.
Fantastic. So you've got them as your choir.
I've got them.
What about other performers? You know, like, is it all you?
It's kind of
burlesque.
It is very much. It's the first solo show, and in a way, it's not a solo show because it's a kind of conflagration of art and artists. But I am the snake in it that's always shedding her skin.
Okay.
And if you think of
that's
rapture,
a good way of putting it.
Yeah, it's and I thought of that when I was in Colombia and I was talking to this very handsome man about the rapture because he wants to bring it to his theater, and he said, "But what does it mean?" And he'd seen me performing on a mountainside in Chile and said, "We have to have you in Colombia." And we were talking and I looked outside the hotel room window and there was this massive piece of graffiti on an overpass in the middle of Colombia. And it was of a snake shedding its skin in this wild shamanistic graffiti. And I said, in the rapture, I am a snake always shedding her skin. This is like the storybook that when you open it, it just sucks you in. It's Edgar Allan Poe meets late night Paris. It's every different story has a visceral, wild, visual element. And you sit there with your friends in the dark with all these porcelain icicles tinkling above your head and you can't believe that you're inside the story.
Wow. So when do you start?
We preview. We open our very first night. It's the 29th of June and we only go to July the 16th.
Right.
It's an incredibly short period of time. You'll never see anything like it again. And if you miss it, you will regret it for the rest of your life.
You've been warned. 45 downstairs. You're back where I saw you many, many years ago.
My great love.
Yeah.
My great love in the heart of Melbourne, 45 downstairs, with its beautiful, beautiful brick and its wild arched windows that are barred. And we've left nothing changed. So the moonlight will come in through the barred windows. It's just going to be like a magic cavern.
So get on board right now and book some tickets because this will sell out. If you're only on for a short period, we'll sell out. And it's called The Rapture, Art versus Extinction. And of course, you won't see this again, probably, this show.
No, this is the next stop for this is very much going off to Berlin and China.
Right.
And Colombia. And one of the wonderful things that we always do in Melbourne is we always have low ticket prices for artists. So even though when you sit in the heart of the rapture, you pay $100 for that. But in all of our shows, we always have artist ticket prices because we believe and we love in what we call the taste rich and the cash poor.
Thank you so much. But we're going to finish up on a song.
This is a song that features in The Rapture. This is a song that you will never have heard before because it comes hot off the press of Mama Alto's new album, which has been crowdfunded by her beloved fans in Melbourne.
And what's the song called?
Songbird.
You're on Joy. Thank you so much for coming in. You're on Joy 94.9. This is Sunday Arts Magazine.
Oh. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.